Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man, the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the what? The paths. Nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful or the scoffers or the ones that ridicule. We're going to go deeper in a little while. But his delight, the place where he finds joy, the place where he finds help, the place where he finds happiness is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us. We pray that our hearts will be changed, transformed, will be moved from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. We'll be elevated, oh God, because of your word in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. Amen. You may be seated. You know what I find amazing is that the Spirit of God uses David to write the Psalms. But he doesn't open the Psalms speaking about the goodness of God. He doesn't open the Psalms speaking about the victories that he won in life. He did not open the Psalms speaking about all that God did for him and how God caused him to defeat his enemies and how God caused him to triumph and how God caused him to move from the sheepfold and he became king. No, he opens it and he speaks about the condition of a man. He opens the psalm by speaking about the condition of a person that decides to walk from the counsel and walk according to the counsel of God. We got to fix this, my brother Robin. There's too much echo. Stuff is coming back to me. Amen. He opens it and he speaks about the counsel of God. Blessed is the man that chooses right counsel. Amen. You could set up. You guys set up. Blessed is the man that chooses to obey the counsel of God. But he said he puts it in a different way. He tells us where we should not walk. He didn't say, oh, walk this way. He tells us what is it we ought to avoid. He said, first, we must avoid the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man. What does it mean to be blessed? Blessed is someone that is happy, number one. You are happy. Now, the world is looking for happiness. The world is looking for promotion. The world seeks elevation. The world seeks to be fortunate. He says here, blessed is the man. Means fortunate is the man who does not follow the counsel of the ungodly. Who do not walk in the ways of the ungodly. Who is a counselor? A counsel is someone that what? Guides, pretty much. Amen? You see that, Brother Robs? You got too much trouble on this mic. When I move forward there, I get a feedback. Let's work this out. All right? He doesn't share much about his experiences. He doesn't share about his triumphs. But what he is seeking to do is to align us so that we can avoid pitfalls. We could avoid pitfalls. At this point in David's life, he had lived a long time. He was not a young man here. He had lived a long time. He had walked the walk. He had talked the talk. You know, he had gone through He went through many testings, many trials, and now he is writing to us, and it's like a conclusion in the beginning of the psalm. Yes. Yes. I find that amazing. Give me some more. It's like a conclusion. A conclusion at the beginning. It's like, this is how you would write when you get to the end of a thing. If you would obey all of this, you will be blessed. But he opens it up with what we would be if we would follow not the counsel of the ungodly, not the counsel of the world, not following the world system, not following the social media influencers of the day, not following the anchor on the news, because they are not counseling from the word of God. They're counseling from their own experience, number one. They're counseling from what they were taught, but also they're counseling from what is popular. And they're counseling from man's perspective. They're counseling from the perspective of the flesh. And we know the word of God says, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. Meaning, we will reap destruction. We will reap, oh my God, pain. We will reap hurt. We will reap confusion. But if we would follow the counsel of God, we would be blessed. Blessed. Blessed is being walking in the kindness of God, walking in the favor of God. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, meaning that person is a prosperous person. Because what? When you reap corruption, it is not blessing. When you reap frustration, it is not blessing. And you do not enjoy the blessings of God. I don't want to preach this from the perspective of telling you, oh, don't go to the club, don't sit with sinners. No, I want to preach understanding into you so we would understand what it means to receive counsel. What it means to receive counsel and where it is our counsel should derive from. Where it is your counsel should derive. He says, verse 2, let me go here quickly. He says, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. Now, we all want to take advice from people. Some of us, we're going through marital issues. We go to what? A counselor. Kids in school, you don't know what to do. You go to your guidance counselor. So the counselor helps you. You're in college, you go to your advisor and they advise you and they tell you what courses you should take, what you need to graduate. Anybody here? Am I talking truth? Yes. You go and you get counsel. You're working on a job and you're not clear about your benefits. Where do you go? You go up to HR and you get what? Clarity on what your benefits are. But as children of God, our counsel should come from the word of God. Our counsel should come from where? The word of God. So a counselor is an advisor. Now, when you listen to the world's counselor, you tune into the news, you hear they talk about liberty and freedom, and you have to be yourself and express yourself and do whatever you want to do. But when you look into the word of God, it tells you to crucify your flesh. The world tells you, live out what you feel. But God tells you, put a blow to your flesh. Now, which will lead to life? There is one that will lead to destruction, but in the moment it feels good. The Bible says the pleasures of sin is sweet. 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 Come try it. But what? The end payment. If you sow to your feelings, you're going to get destruction. You're going to get pain. You're going to get frustration. You're going to be miserable. But in the moment, it feels how? Good. Say it feels good. Or it feels real good. But it is momentary. It is momentary. The word of God tells us something different. The word of God tells us, put a blow to the flesh. Because what? The arm of flesh will fail you. If you live by your feelings, I want to tell you, it is a prescription for failure. It is a prescription for failure. If you live how you feel and you take counsel from the ungodly, he opens, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Can I tell you, number one, the ungodly tells you, you do not have to go to church. The man that hate God, he don't want you to do anything with God. So don't you pick up the phone and call your girlfriend and say, you think I should go to church today? It's raining. What do you think the flesh is going to say? Go on to church. You need God. No. It's raining. Take it easy. And then they say, pull the blind. Look out the window. What do you see? Rain. You see, it's bad out there. It is dangerous. Don't go out there. You can get hurt. A tree can fall on you. Lightning can strike you. Hello? Yes, because the flesh works with the senses. What you can see, what you can touch, what you can feel. But I got news for you. Everything you can see, everything you can touch, and everything you can feel is temporary. But the God, he said he is spirit and he is truth. Everything else is lie. But what you cannot see is eternal. Even demons. I said even demons. Even the devil. He has been the father of lies from when? The beginning. And he's been lying and lying and lying and lying all through the years. Johnny came and he died. Johnny's son came and he died. Everybody came and died, and the devil is still there. So don't underestimate the power even of darkness. Amen? So watch where you are taking your counsel from. Now, what should we do? Instead of taking counsel from the ungodly, the word of God encourages us and says in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I wonder how many of you listening to me today, watching online, sitting in house can say, Pastor, I trust God with all my heart, but not my checkbook. I want to tell you, many of you say, I trust God with all my heart only on Sundays. I trust God with all my heart when things are going good. I trust God with all my heart when I feel like doing it. No, that is not trusting with all your heart. That is momentary trusting. The Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Meaning, certain things you don't have to understand. There are certain things we don't have. How does a man get saved? How does a man get born again? We don't know. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He said, Nicodemus, you can feel the wind, but you can't see the wind. Some of us saying, unless I see, that's when I believe. There is Almighty God. The Bible said, they that come to him must what? Believe. How do we receive? By faith. What is faith? The substance, faith is the substance of things hope for. Do you have it? No, you don't. But you are hoping for it. But what faith makes it? Faith takes it and creates a substance out of it. Out of nothing, it becomes something because it is by faith. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I don't ever want to hear a song like we have to get you to give money in this church. Let me go here. I just need to bring this clarity. This church believes in honoring God with your tenth. Amen? Your tenth. Everyone sitting in this room, it is not optional. It is mandatory of us to bring the tenth into the house of God. Malachi 3:6. Shall a man rob God? You know what he's saying there? You got nerves to try to rob me. And then you're going to ask how you do it. You know what not giving your tithe represent? You know what my tithe was this week? You want to hear? $1,100. When I saw the number, I shake in the back. I took my calculator and did it again. You heard me? You heard me? You know what my tithe used to be at one time? 10% of 200 is how much? I'm working you. Who want to go somewhere? Put your hand up. Good. You want to go somewhere? Keep your hand up. There was a time my tithe was $20. And when it was $250, it was what? Wow. $10 more? $25. Not even $10. But we were diligent in obeying the word of God. I don't come here to preach for a puppy show. I come here to tell you the truth. Lean not on your own understanding. Do you guys believe what I'm saying?
Yes.
So after church, you can, or tomorrow, next week, after Mom X over there, check the offering, you could come and ask her, is it true what Pastor said? I do not give 10%. I tithe 15%. No, it's okay. Stay cool. I tithe 15% because I made a vow to God many years ago that out of our business, I will give 15%. That's my vow. God didn't ask me for that. But that's from my love for God and my love for the business of God. That's my love for his business so that I may push his business first. If I push his business, it is then his reaction, not obligation, his reaction to push my business forward. Is that true? Good. So what I want to help you, church, lean not on your own understanding. You might be saying, just like how we don't know how a man gets saved. So I was trying to lead my brother-in-law to the Lord the night before. And I buck up on this scripture. And I said, God, how can I explain to this man how is he going to get saved? So I took him to John 3:3. And the Lord tells Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you see the wind? You don't know how it's going to happen. It's the same way. You don't know how you get born again. It is the Spirit of God that does it. All you have to do is put your trust in Jesus Christ. And he does it. Doesn't the Bible says that he specializes in what is impossible? What is impossible with man is possible with God. We can't get saved outside of God. But when we come into Christ, we become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If any man, any man. So if any man then decides now to honor God with the first fruit of all your increase. The first. So you get $100, you take out $10, you give it to God. You get $1,000, you take out $100, you give it to God. You get $5,000, you take out $500. And you put it where God says to put it, in his storehouse. First. Now, how does the blessings come? You know how the blessing come? Let's go back to the word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding says you need the money to buy food, to buy clothes, to build your own empire, to make investment, to build your business. You need capital. But God says, prove me this day if I will not open the windows of heaven and for you a blessing. If you ask the world, they will tell you, don't give it. If you follow the counsel of the world, they will tell you, don't do it. But if you're wise, if you are wise, if you are prudent, if you are obedient, if you are willing to obey and to live according to the word. He says, blessed is that man. The man that obeys, that finds delight in the law of God. Whatever God says is, I don't need to understand it. But if he said it, he is God. And he will back up what he has said. He said, heaven and earth shall pass, but my word will remain. He said, my word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I send it to do. He said, I will bless you and make you a blessing. Walk in the counsel of God. A lot of times we don't obey God because we're afraid of people. We don't get on fire for God because we're afraid of people. We're frightened to pray in tongues because they're going to say, oh, we don't understand. You're confusing people. Listen, if God gave you a prayer language, pray in it and watch God do what God says he's going to do. He said, when you pray, you speak mysteries. I don't know mysteries on my own, but he's put mysteries by the Holy Spirit on the inside. And I say, I got this treasure in this earthen vessel, and I'm going to let it out and let the mysteries take hold. And what was not supposed to happen for me, God begins to do it. And everybody wants to know, how come? How come? How come? How come my friend that was supposed to be the smart one, the person who was top of the class, everyone said that's the rising star, but here comes you with the word of God. You trust it with all your heart. You lean not on the understanding of other men. You lean not on the counsel of God. But here you come, riding in at the top, riding in as the head, riding in as what God says that you are. Oh God, when they sent Joseph down to Egypt, they thought they would have got rid of him. They put him in the pit. But mighty God, God picked him from the pit. Why? Because he believed the word of God. God gave him a dream, which was so big and so amazing. What stood out is that he followed the dream. He did not let go of the dream. He hold on to what God said. And we all know the story. He became second in command. Why? All of Egypt, because he followed what God said. I want to encourage you, church, do not walk in the counsel of the world. And the Bible says that Jesus is our chief counselor. In the book of Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 55. He said, he shall be called the wonderful counselor. The what? Not just the counselor. He is the wonderful counselor. I don't know if you guys ever watch wrestling. I had the $1 million man, Mr. Wonderful. Anybody ever used to watch wrestling back in the day? Yeah, Mr. Wonderful comes out, yeah? Flamboyant and everything. Because he is Mr. Wonderful, right? Yeah, but let me tell you. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. If you don't know where to go, you don't know where to turn, you say, oh Lord Jesus, what should I do? What step should I take? Where should I go? Should I go right? Should I go left? The Bible says he is the wonderful counselor. There is none like him. There's only one like him. And he has all power in his hand. He's been given a name above every name. Every situation must bow to him. So why not check in with the wonderful counselor? You are not alone. You are not forgotten. You are not neglected. Check in, tap in to what God has. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. You're looking for direction? Don't go to a secular counselor. A secular counselor is a guide. We go and we pick up the phone and we ask this person, we ask that person. We read this book and we look at that book. We look at this show and we trust that show. We scroll Google and we try to get answers. But mighty God, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and what? All things. All things. All things. Now, I don't want to tell you that sometimes even people who are not saved may not have some good counsel. They may have some good things, but it's tainted counsel. You heard what I said? It is tainted counsel. It is mixed with some truth, but the source of it is lie. Hello? The source of it is lies. I said the source of it is lies. Where does truth come from? Jesus. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. He said, I am the true vine. There are other vines. He didn't say, I'm the only vine. Listen to me, church. Jesus never said, I'm the only vine. He said, I am the door. I am the life. I am the truth. But he said, I am the true vine. There are other doors. There are other vines. But he is the true vine. Let's take counsel from him. So I just want to show you an illustration. Taking counsel. Let's bring this table up. Come, just lift over here, Tim. Yeah, come. Amen. Put it over there. Thank you. Beautiful. Right there. Good. Okay. So, I just want to share this illustration versus the counsel of God and taking the counsel of the ungodly. I need you, Tim. So, Tim, here, he's a young electrician. You know, he just graduated from trade school. And he has a certificate and he's going to be an electrician. And he doesn't have any tools. Well, put up your hands. How many tools you got? You got 10. That's all he got. But this tool can't cut no wires. This tool can't tape nothing up. So he needs tools. So now he goes to a friend. He goes to a friend. Now, this is the counsel of the world, and this is the counsel of the Spirit. Amen? This is the counsel of the Spirit. He goes to his friend because he's a Christian, but he's saying he needs to speak to someone. He's saying, I can't really touch God, but I could touch a friend. I could touch someone who has walked the road. But what he goes to them and he says, I need some tools and I'm just getting started out. Now, if you had come to God, open it up for me, Tim, please. If you came to the Lord, lose that one time. Now, this is pure counsel. Let me just stay right there. I'm just going to read this word with you here before I get to it. Psalm 19, 7 to 11 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. What is it? Perfect. Verse 2 from Psalm 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he what? Meditates when? Day and night. So now, verse 7 of Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting or changing the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are what? Right. They're what? Right. If you want to know what is right, what do you got to check in with? The word of God. Amen? Rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure. What is it? So if you go to counsel from the Spirit, what kind of counsel are you going to get? Pure counsel. Amen? Pure counsel. Enlightening the eyes or bringing clarity to the spirit man. Because sometimes we see a little tainted. It brings light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than what? Than day than gold. Yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Is what? And in keeping there is what? Great reward. So Tim goes to his friend, and if he had checked in with God first, he would have gotten this. What kind of counsel is this? Pure counsel. How does it look in there? Clean, pure, nice, right? But he goes to the friend now. He says, hey, I need some tools. How can I get it? He says, you know what? You need tools, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Right. You need to work, right? Uh-huh. Do you have money?
No,
he doesn't, but you got to work. So we got to get these tools somehow, right? So we're going to go down to Home Depot, right? And we're going to go in the tool section, and we're going to act like we're buying something. Now, what kind of counsel is that? But does it sound good? It sounds like a plan. It sounds like a plan, because our goal is to get the tool, because we want him to work and feed his family, and we want him to take care of his children. We want him to have a good life. We don't want him to be broke. So we're going to go to Home Depot, and we're going to pick up some tools. Now, we're not going to pay for the tools. We're going to pick up. That is tainted counsel. It sounds good, but it is tainted. And also, Tim, when you go to the work site, when nobody's looking, you know, you have a bag with a zip at the bottom. And when everybody's opening the top zip, you have the top and the bottom zip. So where the tool is, you're going to put the bag, open the bottom zip, pull up the tool and zip it back. What kind of counsel is that? But is he getting the tools? Yes. We went to Home Depot first. He got the tools. We didn't buy the tools. It's not the pure way. It is not the right way. It is not the way of reward. It is not the way of It is a way to promotion. It is getting him what he wants in the moment. Hello? He's feeling good because he's getting now, he's gotten tools. He went down to Home Depot, he got the tools, and he also hit up Lowe's and he got some more tools. And then he went to the neighborhood hardware store where there's not a lot of people working, because what? He learned the secret of tainted counsel, and now he is carrying it out in multiple places. But then he goes back to Home Depot because he has a bigger job and he need a bigger tools, and he said, I got the little with it, let me go for the big one now. He then goes and he picks up the jackhammer this time. And sin or the counsel he subjected himself to now has blinded his reasoning. His eyes open. But he took what kind of counsel? Tainted counsel. So he went back for the jackhammer now. How is the water looking now? Does it look as clean as it looked before? No, because what? Sin has a way of growing on you. He lives by the counsel. Now, hold on, don't clap yet. He's walking out with the jackhammer. He thinks the jackhammer is now invisible. Remember Samson? Samson went down and played around with the Philistine women all the time. all the time. His father said to him, boy, in all of Israel, there's not one woman? Is there not one woman? What kind of counsel was that? That was pure counsel his father was giving him, saying, boy, in all of Israel, there must be one woman that you can have. Didn't God tell us the reason for a man to be married is to raise up righteous seed, pure seed that would glorify God in the earth? But where he went? To the Philistine. So now he's walking out with a jackhammer, and the alarm goes off, and then he is approached and they say, sir, would you step to the side? And somehow somebody had an idea and they said, let's call the cops because this one is going down. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is destruction. God bless you. I want to encourage you. Take the counsel of the Lord. It is not fully black. It is not fully black. You could see there is some good in it. Now, the tool, he needed the tool. But the way he got the tool, if he had gotten pure counsel, he would have got something like this. He would have feared the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is clean. Enduring how? Forever. You will be preserved when you fear the Lord. You do not have momentary success, but also the end is destruction. Listen, the way we live our lives, we should not take counsel from the world. I want to help the church. We have the Spirit of God that is living deep down inside of us. The Bible says, Almighty God, John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. Amen? All truth. Galatians 5, 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Meaning, walk by the counsel of the Spirit. Walk by the energy of the Spirit. Do not walk in your own strength. Do not live life by your own prescription, but live according to the Spirit's prescription. Amen? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh says, I need it now. I want it, and I'm going to get it when? Now. But God says, the counsel of the Lord says, they that wait on the Lord shall have renewed strength. They're not going to have fly-by-night strength, but they're going to have a kind of strength that will take them from step to step, grace to grace, faith to faith, glory to glory, because what? They're waiting on God. They're depending on the Lord. They're resting in the promises of God. He who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. He said, hey, wait on me and I will bring it to pass. But the word says, I need it and I'm going to get it now, and it doesn't matter what it takes. But the end is destruction. Depend on the Spirit. Walk by the counsel of the Holy Ghost. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean out on your own understanding. Don't worry how it's going to work out. Live a life that is submitted to the Spirit of God. Live a life of dependency on God, because the result of it, you are blessed. You are fortunate. You are favored. You are privileged. And I want to let you know, the Spirit of God will help you with yes and no. The Holy Spirit will help you with yes and no. We often hear people say, I didn't know what to do, so I did the wrong thing. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure what to do. You know, when Peter was at the house, the house of the tanner in Acts 16:6, And he was there and God gave them a vision. And no, is it Acts 10. And Cornelius sent for him. And Cornelius said, boy, come down to our house. He sent some guys and he sent the guys to him. Now, in Peter's understanding, he had a limited understanding. He said, I cannot go down to Cornelius' house because if I am seen by the Jews going there, I'm going to be in trouble because I am a Jew. Even though he was born again, he was still a born again Jew. If you're a Jamaican and you get born again, aren't you a born again Jamaican? Yeah, you're still what you are, right? So the man now, he said, you know what, I can't go down there. But what did the Spirit of God do? The Spirit of God gave him a vision. The Spirit of God gave him a vision and he showed him all the unclean animals. And he said, listen, Peter, kill and eat. He's like, I can't do that. I'm not eating no pork, Lord. I'm not eating no unscaled fish. Mm-mm. I ain't eating no rabbit. Mm-mm. But the Lord said what? Kill and eat. God wanted him to understand that there was more to the kingdom than what you know. Sometimes the little understanding that we have, we box ourselves in and we limit ourselves. But God is saying there is more. There are greater levels. There are greater understanding. Okay, if you come after me, you're going to get it. If you seek, you're going to find. I'm sure some of you, when you came to this church, you didn't believe in healing. You saw somebody get healed. Then he said, oh, yes. Some of you didn't believe in casting out demons. But then you saw somebody got delivered. Then now you believe. So now Peter says, I can't go down to Cornelius' house. But the Spirit of God intervened because he was dependent on the Spirit of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, 16 says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said. What the Spirit did? All right, I'm going to go back. Let's go back. Reverse. Come again. Or reel and come again. Acts 10, 16. Look at your Bible. It says, while Peter thought about the vision, what did the Holy Spirit do? All right, it's on the screen now. I give you the wrong text. It said the Spirit of God said, Acts 10, 16, no? Oh, no. Look it up. Look it up, the story of Cornelius. I'm so sorry. I got the wrong text. Verse 19. Look at verse 19. Sorry, it's 19. Do we got 19? I want everyone to see this. We're going to wait for it. All right, good. While Peter thought about the vision, what was he doing? Thinking about it. What did the Spirit do? Hello? What did the Spirit do? That means the Spirit spoke to him. So if you're looking for counsel, check in with the Holy Ghost, but you have to wait for the Spirit to talk to you. I'm going to go with that again. Check in with the Holy Ghost, but you have to keep thinking. He was thinking about it. He said, man, I'm confused. I'm confused about this vision. I don't know what this vision really means. How many times we're in confusing situations and we don't know what to do next? Anyone ever been in a crossroad and you're like, I got to make a decision now. They want an answer right away, but you don't know what to do. It's like the men were coming and they were trying to get Peter to go with them, but Peter didn't know what to do. But hear what God did. Ahead of time, he was thinking about the vision. The Bible says, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. And what else he said? Arise, therefore, and what? Go down and go with them. Next part says what? Doubting nothing, for I have sent them. When you don't know what to do and you need counsel, check in with the Holy Spirit. Do not follow tainted counsel. Now, this is quick counsel. This is instantaneous counsel. And it gives you a right away solution. But is it an eternal solution? No, it is one that leads to devastation and leads to embarrassment. Now, Tim is in prison. And the family he was trying to feed, you're not seeing him here. You know why? He's in prison. He got locked up. The cops came and they took him to Rikers. him gone to Rikers, and now him gone to Rikers Island. Yeah. His parents made him born in New York to get better life. But when they now? Rikers. And no music in there. And no Bob Marley or whatever not down there. Him down there smell the other man bad breath. But, if he had waited on the Lord, he had trusted in the Lord with all his heart. You see, we're all tested, church. When we're in tough situation and we need a way out, you're all tested. And when you're all tested, then you know what you're made of. That's when you know when you don't have an answer and you don't have a way. Then you know if you're really trusting in God. And you sing, all of my hope is in the name. No, don't sing. We sing it. But then we sing the song. Hey, feel nice and I can cry. Yes, Holy Ghost. And then you call Jenny. What should I do? Serious business. And then you just prayed, and you're singing pure song, talking to the pure God. But then you get up, and you call Jenny, and she gives you the tainted counsel. I want to tell the church today, this will lead you to frustration because the pit gets deeper. What David was trying to do is to help us to avoid pitfalls. I want to talk to the children and the young people. Your parents are telling you, do not hang out late at night. Your parents are telling you, avoid that girl. Don't hang out with Jenny. Don't hang out with Johnny. Don't hang out with Shakira and Shanene and hang out with Ty. Don't hang out with Ty. She says, go to the church. And there's some good youths over there. They have a youth group. Go to youth group. Pure counsel. Go to youth group and see what they're saying down there. Build some friendship that will last. Somebody that could give you some instruction that will keep you out. We don't only keep church to teach them Bible. I want to tell you, I think of the kids in this church and I say, God bless all of them with their own houses. Bless all of them with their own cars. Bless them with their own bank accounts. But I want to tell you, that is my desire for you. Because I'm daddy. Now, your mom and your dad in your house has a desire for you. They want the same for you. They want the best for you. But I'm also saying, Lord, fill them with your spirit. Open their spiritual eyes. Let them see Jesus. Let them have a born again encounter. That God to be absent from this body. They'll be present with the Lord. Teach them to pray. Teach them to worship. Teach them to sing. Good counsel. But everybody says, come, let's go to the club. Come, let's try this. Let's try that. Come, let's vape. Vaping is like the coolest thing right now. Come, let's take a peep at pornography because it makes the senses tickle. But then right after, it makes you feel dirty. In the moment, it tickle you and you probably tickle yourself too. Let me help somebody this morning. It feels good. But at the end of it, how does it leave you? It don't feel nice. It don't make you feel good. Because you know what? It is not how God designed it to be. But here your mom is saying, boy, girl, this, that. Let's live over here. But you're like, no. Let's give it a shot. Let's see what would happen. Can I tell you, some people go for a shot and they never come back? I do not want to be a statistic. Church, follow pure counsel. I don't want to preach no funeral for no teenager here. I don't want to preach no funeral for no young adult here. And you old people same, you, I don't want to preach your funeral too like that. Because some of the old people come to church, you put up a good show, and then you go home and it's a different story. And you point your finger at the young people. Let me help you. Let me help you. Young people, this is not about you alone. This is everybody. Some of us got some addictions and we don't want to shake it. And nor do we want to expose them. We want to cover them. You see this table? You don't know what color this table is because it is covered. It is time that we forsake the flesh and walk by the Spirit. Meaning, when you get up in the morning, it's by the Holy Ghost. When you go to work, it's by the Holy Ghost. When you do your work, it's by the Holy Ghost. When you eat your lunch, it's by the Holy Ghost. When you get in your car, you're coming home, you're not going to the club, you're not going to the bar, it is by the Holy Ghost. You're not stopping at no man's house, you're going home. You're not stopping at no woman's house, you're going home. Pure counsel. What did David say? Blessed is that man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's some truth in it, but it is rooted. It is what it is rooted in. It is rooted in lies. It is rooted in darkness. Walk by the Spirit. Also, the Holy Ghost will help you to know when to say no. When Paul wanted to preach, he wanted to preach. He wanted to do a good thing. Acts 16:6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in Asia. Hello? They were what? Forbidden to preach. So even when Peter wanted to know what to do, the Spirit told him what to do. When you want to know what not to do as well, the Holy Ghost will let you know. Because I heard a story of a man that went to keep a tent revival. The first two nights was miracles, signs and wonder, and great, great miracles. Great miracles. And it was time for the third night. Chairs were set up, tent was set up. People started to come and fill the place. But mighty God, a kind of rain started to fall, and it was so bad that it broke the tent and it destroyed the entire service. But early in the day, he said, God, if this rain fall, I will stop serving you. Because he was so full of himself. He became so self-dependent. He became so confident in the anointing that God had lent to him. And he said, God, if I don't get to keep third night, because if night one and night two are so good, what about third night? So guess what? The rain fell, mash up the tent, crusade canceled. He walks away and he leaves. Distraught. He sits by himself down the road on a corner, and a young man walks up to him and says, sir, would you pray for me? He said, no! I'm not going to pray for you. God, fail me. And the man says, sir, if you had only taken the stage, I had the gun ready to kill you. I was ready to take you out. I had it locked and loaded, ready to do what I was sent to do. But then God stepped in and God disrupted my plan. So there had to have been a God. And in that moment, he came to himself and he said, oh my God, I repent. Because sometimes we think we got it covered. And we walk by our own feelings. Walk by our own feelings. Follow the counsel. Pure counsel. Follow the counsel that is true. Follow the counsel that is right. Wait on God. Be patient. Be patient. Trust the process. All your heart. In your giving, all your heart. In your loving, all your heart. In your fellowship, fellowship with each other with all your heart. Leave rooms for people's fault. Can I tell you that? Let me help you, church. If you hang around long enough with me, there's something you're not going to like. But do you throw out the baby with the bath water? No, meaning the water that the baby come out in. You know, when the water, when the child gives birth, they throw away what is not good, but you keep the baby. Or maybe when you give your baby a shower, rather you don't keep the bath water, you throw the bath water, but what you keep? The baby. You keep what is good. You keep what is pure. So, even in your fellowshipping, fellowship with all your heart. Love with all your heart. Care with all your heart. Don't when you see somebody on the street, you do the quick thing. Some of you, your neck gonna get stuck over there. You're gonna pull some muscles. Or you put your eye like this, you end up with a cock eye. Yes! That is what the ungodly man does. Who did that? The Samaritan. Not the Samaritan, the priest did that. Was he walking by the Spirit? No. He was not walking by the Spirit. He went the other side. I want to tell you, we need to take the counsel of the Lord. Why? Let me give you these two reasons. The counsel of the Lord brings security. Write this down. The counsel of the Lord brings security. Psalms 26 verse 12 says, my foot stands in a what? Even place. In a what? Even place. My feet, they stand in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. When you're standing on the counsel of God, you are safe. Go to Home Depot and steal, there's potentially going to get caught. But God says, hey, wait on me. Go to the job. Honor the boss. Respect the boss. Serve the boss. Do what he says. And I will work, because the Bible said the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. I will cause that king to say, hey boy, I see you need a toolbox. Here is the toolbox you've been waiting on. Here are all the supplies you need to go forward. The heart of every man is in God's hand. Do not limit God's favor to who you think will bless you. God would use a stranger to show up and become the greatest blessing to you. All because you obey his word. You obey his counsel. Obey the counsel of the Lord and ignore the counsel of the world. Number two, it brings success. It brings what? All right, you're sleeping on me. It brings what? The counsel of the Lord brings success. How do we know this? Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law must what? Must not. All right, where's the media team? Who is on the scriptures in the back? The book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Let me see all those who do not have a Bible. Put your hands up. All right, please buy a Bible on the way out. $30 will get you a Bible. Man, make sure you're coming to church. Have a Bible. Get a Bible, guys. This is how you'll know the law of the Lord. This is how you're going to... You know in China right now, they are rewriting the Bible. Did anybody see that online? Yes, they are editing out what they don't want in the Bible. Why do you think I'm telling you? You think I'm a fool when I tell you buy a Bible and get it in your house. You have it. You have the truth. It's going to come to America eventually. Be aware that we're living in the last days. This is the last days, church. Get yourself a Bible. Amen. Good. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Now imagine you have the I love the phone. You see, I have a computer. I have two phones. All my phones have the Bible app. But if there is no data, it can't work. Is that true? Apps don't work without data. So if I don't have an internet, I got no Bible. If the presenter stop working in the back, we got no Bible on the screens. But I want to help everyone. Get yourself a Bible. Even if you go to Dollar Tree and you buy one of the ones where you need a magnifying glass to read it, buy one. You know, there's some people that say, I know where to get a Bible. I could go to the hotel and steal a Gideon Bible from the drawer. And you guys laugh because you all thought about it. It's okay. You know, a lot of people steal those Bibles and get saved. Of course. They know. They want you to take it. But they don't want you guys who are saved Christians. They want the unsaved to go take it. So don't use that on me now. The book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must what? Give me some volume, brother. You must meditate on it. How? How? Day and night, so that you may be careful to do how many things? How many things? All that is written in it. For then you will make. You see what happened there? When you meditate on the counsel, it didn't say God. Follow me. Stick with me, church. It didn't say God. It says, as you meditate, meaning you are thinking about it, you're reading it first, you're memorizing it, and you're processing it over and over and over and over. It gets into you. It becomes a part of you. It says you will make your way what? Prosperous. Who will make your way? You. Because you meditated on it. You learned it. It's now a part of you. And now you have gotten rid of tainted counsel, and you're able now to live by the counsel of the word. It says, as a result of you meditating, processing the word in your spirit, it becomes a part of your DNA. You will not go to Home Depot and steal tools. It doesn't matter who tells you to do it. You will not go and have a bottom zipper on your bag and be a tool vacuum. Because what? This is working in you. You meditated on it. It became a part of who you are. So now, when Tim is in Rikers, you are here going forward because what? You depended on what God said. You didn't look for a quick solution. The way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the end is destruction. So you will be successful. It says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will succeed in all you do. Right? Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. I want to encourage you, church, let us not live by the counsel of the world. Let us all stand today. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that you would have realigned our understanding. You would have helped us. You would have helped us, oh God. We pray, Spirit of God, you'll give us the grace to walk by your Spirit and not to live according to our longings and our desires. Oh, Spirit of God, we ask for help today. We pray, God, that you would teach us. As we have heard your word, let faith arise, that we might step out by faith. We will step out by faith. I said we will step out by faith, trusting you, living for you, having confidence in you, knowing, God, that you are my help. Help us to, in all our ways, acknowledge you, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. All of our hearts. Hallelujah. ¶¶